Well, Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts that are open to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I tell you what, maybe all of you guys were just tuned in to what I was going to say this morning, but you pretty much preached what I wanted to say. But Don said it needed the marinating of the word here this morning, so we'll marinate what we've already heard just a little bit. I kind of gave this sermon a title. Easter's a really hard time to preach because you go, well, you know, how many times can you preach the same thing? You know, because it's the same thing. But God always gives you something because it really is probably the most powerful time that we celebrate in our church, in history, and today. So I call this, and it's not a great title, but it's not big enough for God. And what I'm trying to say is that how many of you have problems? Okay. Well, the way I kind of see it is your problems, they're just not big enough for God. In other words, God can take care of your little problems, but he wants to take care of the bigger problems. He likes bigger problems, and he has bigger solutions. And, I was just thinking about Bishop Jackie, you know, that Father Don met or was with over in the Congo. And, you know, God's going to get that cathedral for him, but that's just the beginning. God's got so many more things for Bishop Jackie. It's going to be unbelievable. He is going to be overwhelmed with the power and the glory of God. And I think that's a word. Like Robert was saying, these are not words that I believe are coming just for certain people. This is what God wants to do, and this is what this day is all about. So I just want to go over a few little problems that the Lord had, that God had in the Bible, and see how he handled those things. Because sometimes we honestly think that our problems are too big for God. Anybody ever thought that? Not in the spirit, but in the flesh. You don't think that sometimes God just can't do this? Well, he can. So first of all, just wanted to talk a little bit about the time the children of Israel were about to die in the wilderness. That was a big problem. They had gone, and the Egyptians had them in slavery, and you know, God had Moses deliver them out of the slavery, and then they ended up being in the wilderness. And then they started thinking, they were really afraid of the Egyptians, but they started thinking like, now, Lord, what are you doing? Now you brought us out in the wilderness to die. We would have just as soon been back there with the Egyptians serving them. And they got to this place where they just didn't trust God. They would have rather lived in Egypt and served the Egyptians than to trust in God's deliverance. Now, God could have done this. Again, this was a problem. This was a problem. They were afraid. I mean, they were really afraid of these Egyptians. They knew what they could do to them. And so it was a huge problem. But it really wasn't big enough for God. Because God could have just, God could have just solved this thing pretty easily. I mean, he could have just kind of made the Red Sea dry up, you know, and just let them walk over the Red, the sand and I don't know exactly what, Gene probably knows more about what's at the bottom of the Red Sea than I do. But, you know, he could have done it a little bit milder. He could have just got them out of there and left the Egyptians alone and not, dealt with them at all. But, God's bigger than that. And he wanted to solve this problem. in a bigger way. And he wanted to solve a bigger problem than just the Israelites getting away from the Egyptians. He wanted to do something more. It just getting them out of Egypt was not everything that he had in mind. His desire was to do more. So what did he do? Well, you know what? And this is like kind of like, I think God's already been doing this today. I was kind of just kidding when I said, let's have a party. But I think we've kind of been having a party already, a celebration. I mean, a celebration of the Lord and a celebration of worship to him and of his resurrection and the power of God. You know, but that's kind of what God did. God did more than just dry up the water and get them out. Man, did he do more? It says Moses in verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided so that the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea in the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And it wasn't just so Cecil B. DeMille could make a movie a couple thousand years later about the Ten Commandments. I mean, you think, now look, come on. Think about if you were there. And you're watching this, you're experiencing this. The waters have divided and there's a wall of water on both sides of you, like a big, huge wave like you would see in Hawaii somewhere where people are surfing. And you can just walk through it. Man, they were having a party. I'm telling you, they were going, whoa, look what God is doing. And God was kind of, I don't like to use this term too much, but he was kind of showing off. Say, you think I can just deliver you? Let me show you what I can do. It said, and the Egyptians pursued, and they went after them into the midst of the sea, and all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the enemy of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. He took care of their enemy too. He did more than just what they wanted. He destroyed their enemies and he made them realize that the Lord was fighting for Israel. And you see, that's what the enemy needs to know in your life. The enemy needs to know, and he does know, that the Lord is fighting for you. Whatever problem it is you have. And then they settled after that in Mount Sinai. So God didn't just want to, again, it wasn't just something he just wanted to get them out of Egypt. They settled in Mount Sinai, and there, what happened? Moses got the Ten Commandments. So he did more, exceedingly and abundantly, above all that anyone could ask or think. This is what God does. You know, I was just thinking, this really isn't in my sermon, but I was thinking about the Wright brothers, you know, and how like they were the same way. They're just people that just, they look at problems and those problems aren't big enough. I mean, the Wright brothers, they probably, I don't know exactly how they were thinking it through, but, you know, they had seen cars that had been invented and, you know, some people were still using horses and all that stuff. But, you know, they saw that some of the problems of moving people from one point to another were being solved, but they still saw something bigger. That problem wasn't big enough for them. They wanted something else. They desired and they began in their heart to find something else, some other way to move people. They wanted to move people over groves of trees and fields and places. They wanted to take people. So they just come up with this crazy idea. And it just, you know, guys, it wasn't that long ago. Come up with this crazy idea of getting a contraption that would fly over the trees and the forests and the fields and take people from place to place. But I don't know if they really understood that one day it would be even more than that. That one day it was going to be these airplanes that would fly over majestic mountains and over oceans and go across the world. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. Most of you have seen it. You go into an airplane and you fly across these great mountains and you think, wow, who came up with this? And we know it was God. But you know what? They wanted, these guys wanted to solve a bigger problem. And this is how God acts. This is the way he does. There was another problem for the people of Israel in Numbers 21. The real problem, or the problem they thought they had, was that the food just wasn't good enough for them. They didn't like it. And so, because of their lack of trust in God and their sin and their complaining and griping, fiery serpents began to come out, and they would bite them and kill them, poisonous serpents. And people were being killed. That became a little bit bigger problem. But then, Numbers 21, verse 8, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live. So these people that were being killed by poisonous snakes, basically because of their own sin, God brought a fiery serpent on a brass pole. And when they looked at it, you know what they saw? They saw their sin. They saw their sin. And when they looked at that serpent that God had brought, that Moses brought to them, it said, even though they had been bitten by the poisonous snakes, they would not die. Now that solved part of the problem. But even then, God was showing how he was going to solve a much bigger problem than just what was going on with those people right there that had been bitten by snakes and that had been overcome by their sin. He showed them something else. He showed them a symbol that one day the sin of all mankind would be lifted up and that would free all of us from sin. And this story was relayed again to us in John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He was solving a much bigger problem. That little problem wasn't big enough for God. I tell you, Don, that was last week, Sunday. I don't know if you guys heard Don's sermon Sunday, Father Don's sermon. There were so many good things in it. But, you know, his illustration and talking about how when Jesus became sin. He became sin. He became all of those horrible things that we have ever done, and all of mankind before and after and in the future, that sin came upon him. He became sin. And that's why when he was lifted up, he had to be lifted up, and then we gazed upon him. We see our own sin, and it brings us healing, and we're immune then from the power of the enemy's sting. Does that make any sense to you? Amen. And then another problem. There was a man that was really miserable and tormented by demonic spirits in Luke chapter 8. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs and the herds, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. And when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. And then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. You see, after that demon-possessed man was delivered, you know, that was a problem. This demon-possessed man was a problem. He was, they said, you know, they had him chained around where the tombs were, and he probably scared people to death all the time, and he was screaming, and it was a problem. It was mostly a problem for him being tormented like that. And it was a problem that needed to be solved, and Jesus solved that problem by casting those spirits out. They went into the pigs went into the water and drown. He took care of that problem. But something else was going on. People saw what happened. They saw what happened, and they went into the city And they told about it. And there was a man there in the city whose daughter was dying. And he heard what had happened with this man, Jesus. And in verse 52 of that chapter, it talks about that girl that was his daughter. All were weeping and mourning for her. But he said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. You see, it was about more. God wanted to do more to solve the problem that was going on in that area than just getting that man delivered from those demons. Jesus Christ raised this young girl from the dead so that they could see that death had been conquered by life itself. He wanted to do more. It wasn't a big enough problem. That little problem of the demon-possessed guy, that was just one thing. And he actually did many other things there. This is the same place where the woman was that touched the hem of his garment was healed from the issue of blood. He did many things. Because when he did those things, God had more in mind. And he's got more in his mind for you than just solving some of the small problems that you've got. And God is more than willing to solve your small problems, but he has got a whole lot more for you. He's got a whole lot of more things he wants to do for you in your life than solving just those small problems. He's got a great, great plan for your life. I'm just going to conclude this by reading from it's really a part of a homily that's found in the Liturgy of the Hours. And I'm just going to read from this. This is another, there was this other problem. It was kind of a pretty big problem. Mankind needed salvation. That's kind of a big problem. So this homily in the Liturgy of the Hours, and this is for Holy Saturday. You know, Holy Saturday, really, the vigil that we have, we kind of divide things up. If you're in the Orthodox Church, there's no division. And actually, even in the ancient church, there was no division. The Holy Saturday just continued to the Easter vigil and baptisms. And people just stayed in church all night. Like my daughter and son-in-law and their kids, they probably got home about 3 o'clock this morning from their church, but they won't have church today because they had it all at one time. So this comes because it all works together. It all comes together. And that's what Holy Week is all about. And I'm praying and hoping that more of you will get and understand the power of Holy Week and really understand the rhythm that goes with that and the teaching that comes with it as it teaches your soul and your spirit. Anyway, I'll just read this. "For your sake, I, your God, became your son. I, the Lord, took the form of a slave. I, whose home is above the heavens, descended to the earth and beneath the earth. For your sake, for the sake of man, I became like a man without help, free among the dead. For the sake of you who left the garden, I was betrayed to the Jews in a garden, and I was crucified in a garden. See on my face the spittle that I received in order to restore to you the life I once breathed into you. See there the marks of the blows I received in order to refashion your warped nature in my image. On my back, see the marks of the scourging that I endured to remove the burden of sin that weighs upon your back. See my hands nailed firmly to a tree for you who once wickedly stretched out your hand to a tree. I slept on the cross, and a sword pierced my side for you who slept in paradise and brought forth Eve from your side. My side has healed the pain in yours. My sleep will rouse you from your sleep in hell. The sword that pierced me has sheathed the sword that was turned against you." This is the most powerful part. And this is God speaking to all mankind. "Rise, let us leave this place, The enemy led you out of the earthly paradise. I will not restore you to that paradise, but I will enthrone you in heaven. I forbade you the tree that was only a symbol of life, but see, I who am life itself am now one with you. I appointed the cherubim to guard you as slaves are guarded, but now I make them worship you as a god. The throne formed my cherubim, the throne formed by cherubim awaits you, and its bearers are swift and eager. The bridal chamber is adorned. The banquet is ready. The eternal dwelling places are prepared. The treasure houses of all good things lie open. The kingdom of heaven has been prepared for you from all eternity. The problem was just that man needed salvation, but God had a bigger plan than that. He had a bigger plan. His plan is for us to live together forever and ever and ever. And I believe this. And church, I tell you what, we've got to hear more preaching about this. But there, I believe that heaven is real. And I believe that when we are there with each other, with God for eternity, it's not just going to be something where we're floating around on clouds. It is going to be the most glorious thing that we could ever imagine. And we're going to want to know, why in the world did we want to cling to the world? Why was the world so important to us? Why are the things and the ways of the world so important that we can't leave them when God has prepared glory for us? What are your problems? Are your problems your job, your finances, your spouse, your children, your health, your sin? Are those the problems that you have? They're the ones that I have for the most part. As I get caught up in the world and in the flesh, those are the problems that I think about. They're little problems. Some of them are just my fault. They don't even mean much. But I'm going to tell you what. Your problems are not big enough for God. God wants a chance to show off in your life. Man, I'll tell you, I'm done, but man, the Lord, just so powerful. And I know we heard the bishop's stories and some of the things that happened in Africa. And, but he told another story. I don't think he got to tell it here. We were at Bishop's Council the other day, and he got a letter from a priest over there. And the priest said that, hey, I don't know. It was a long letter, and we're going to get it sent out to you. But he said, you know, there was a lady that you prayed for that was paralyzed. She's paralyzed. Couldn't move. And he said, and this, the priest said, and God healed that woman. Now look, but he didn't just heal her enough so that she could sit around in her wheelchair and just, you know, kind of move around and get around a little bit. The priest said, no, God healed her, and she's now walking and skipping and jumping and running and working in her garden and getting up and down and sitting up and down. See, God had a bigger plan. That problem wasn't too big for God. He could do it. Give him a chance. Seek the purpose and the will of God, and you will see the power and the strength of God. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.